Well, hello and welcome to Binge Watch, the podcast where we take a look at the hottest new TV and film releases on streaming television platforms. I'm Hannah Fernando, the group editor of Woman and Woman and Home magazine.
And I'm Ian McEwan, writer on What's on TV, TV Times and TV and Satellite Week magazines. And today we're looking at the new releases that will be available on Friday the 26th of April 2024. Including teenage ghosts tackling mysteries from beyond the grave in Dead Boy Detectives on Netflix, and the return of horror anthology Them to Prime.
And we'll also be checking out new ITVX thriller Red Eye, starring Richard Armitage, and season 2 of Apple TV's comedy drama The Big Door Prize, featuring Chris O'Dowd. But first, Ian, what is in the news?
The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are executive producing an as-yet-untitled Netflix series that will lift the lid on the tense competition within the world of professional polo. Finally. What else is in the news, Hannah?
You forgot a bit there, because she's also going to curate something else, isn't she?
She is, a lifestyle show exploring cooking, gardening and entertaining.
There you go. Don't leave it all out. It's a wealth of substance and subjects there. Well, also on the agenda is Colin Farrell, because he'll be starring in Netflix drama The Ballad of a Small Player as a gambler mired in debt and haunted by his past, whose life changes when he hides out in Macau.
Thrills and spooky chills on offer in this week's pod. We're going to start on Netflix with a new fantasy comedy drama series, which arrived on Thursday the 25th of April. It's called Dead Boy Detectives, and here's a clip.
Allow me to welcome you to the Dead Boy Detective Agency. We help ghosts resolve their mysteries. Ghosts who cannot let go.
Dead Boy Detectives?
It's Aces, right?
It's just a stupid name.
So this has 8 episodes, and comic book fans, it's based on DC Comics characters that were created by the brilliant Neil Gaiman, and it's from the same universe as The Sandman, which has also been turned into a very good Netflix series. The two Dead Boy Detectives of the title are Edwin, played by George Rextrew, and Charles, played by Jaden Reverie. And yes, they investigate cases for other ghosts. They're a little bit chalk and cheese in many ways. So Edwin died at boarding school in 1916. So yes, he's kind of in period dress. He's sort of the brains of the operation, really. Charles, however, died in the 1980s. He's quite impulsive. They're a good double act, I must say. In episode 1, well, I'll tell you what, it starts with a bang. Wow, there's so much going on in this series. They pack it in, but it's so confident and just full of life and humour that you get swept along with it. So they start off, there's a soldier with a haunted gas mask who's needs to be released from the curse. So that's the first case that just happens in the first few minutes. And you see things like the fact that they can travel by sort of jumping through mirrors. You'll get the gist of it if you watch it. And their second case is, yeah, it's brilliantly done. So this the ghost of a Victorian child comes to their office, and her psychic human friend, called brilliantly Crystal Palace, played by Cassius Nelson, is a victim of demonic possession. Okay, and Crystal is going to get involved in the rest of the series. I won't reveal how or why. There's going to be lots of cases, but there's also kind of a through arc storyline. What I would say about this is, if the first couple of minutes you're not quite buying into it because of the sort of the banter and so on, and there's a lot of explanation of things that kind of has to be in a way, stick with it because it really will grab you. I thought it was going to be very much for sort of young adults, which it is, but it's also kids of all ages, as they say, will enjoy this one. And it's just got such great style about it and so many fantastic ideas pouring out of it. I was very pleasantly surprised. What did you think, Hannah?
Anyone that knows me will know this doesn't really feel completely up my street or something that's got my name written on it. But I think you're right. I mean, I struggle with the kind of all of the premise of this, but the paranormal powers used to solve mysteries and, you know, the thing about spirits that are, that for me was really, I thought that was really good. And as you say, they're both, the two of them are kind of stuck in their own eras. So it's quite interesting to see that working alongside each other. And I mean, I know what you mean about the banter. I mean, I think you can get past that quite quickly. And as I say, anything that's got sort of spirits and ghosts and that kind of thing, I kind of get on board with. So I think for me, it was that element that engaged me as much as anything. But it was a bit different for something like this, which I think is good.
We move across to ITV1 and ITVX for our next offering. It's a new drama that arrived on Sunday, the 21st of April. It's called Red Eye. And here's a clip.
Is there a problem? Come on, let's please. Don't touch me.
The detainee is Dr. Matthew Nolan.
I believe he's responsible for the death of a woman in Beijing.
Pack a bag. You're catching tonight's red eye to Beijing.
You have to help me. I'm innocent.
Don't make this harder than it has to be.
Yep, so this has Richard Armitage and Jing Lucy as the main characters. And this is pretty dramatic stuff, I should say, and quite horrible and horrifying and scary, all kind of wrapped up into one. I think it's described as a tense and claustrophobic 6-part conspiracy thriller, and that is exactly what it is. And a lot of people will feel this claustrophobia because, aside from sort of the very start of the first episode, which is what we've looked at, the rest is set on a plane. And I'd have never actually felt terribly claustrophobic on a plane, but I do feel that on the tube, that sense of not being able to get out. And I know a lot of people feel it on planes. And you really get that sense because it's very dark. The set is very, very, very dark. It's set on this flight between London and Beijing. And you see Richard Armitage, he plays the part of a cardiovascular surgeon, Dr. Matthew Nolan. And he's battling to survive because he's caught up in this very sinister and horrible political conspiracy, and he's accused of doing something he didn't do, or he says he didn't do. So at the very beginning of the first episode, you see this car racing through the streets of Beijing, and it crashes. That's all you see. And then you see this wounded surgeon boarding the flight home to the UK. And then he's arrested at Heathrow, accused of murder, and is being sent back to Beijing. And the authorities are saying that he fled the country after crashing his car, killing the female passenger. But he remembers the crash but has no memory of this woman in his car and thinks he's being completely stitched up. Now, he's handcuffed. He's on this flight. He's being accompanied by British cop DC Hannah Lee, who is played by Lucy, as I said earlier. And she doesn't believe a word he's saying. But as the journey goes on, more and more comes to light. But it was interesting because I was reading some interviews between the actors, and they were saying it was set on this sort of on this aircraft, obviously, but it was so dark. And you can see, I mentioned it earlier, it's very, very dark, the footage. And then they'd finish filming and come outside and it'd be bright sunshine. It was just a really strange way to spend your day. But there's lots of things failing. So there's lots of kind of, so although it's scary and you're thinking what's going on, it's also the jeopardy of the plane and things going wrong on the plane. And is the killer on the plane? Is there a killer on the plane? And it's just so pacey. It from what I've seen of it, completely engaged me immediately. And it's not sort of horrifying, scary as in, you know, like Luther. I still go on about Luther, looking under my bed before I go to bed every night. It doesn't do that to you. It's just that sort of that absolute high octane drama. And from what I've seen so far, I thought it was really very good. What do you think, Ian?
I feel I'm seeing a bit too much of Richard Armitage of late, because he keeps popping up in all those Harlan Coben adaptations. But he's very good in this, I must say. And he is great at sort of portraying someone under stress. And you mentioned Idris. We recently had Hijack, which all took place on board a plane on Apple TV+. Jing Lucy plays DC Lee, and it was surprisingly easy for China to deport him back to sort of answer questions. Although, having said that, if you remember the case of that woman, Nazanin Zaghari Ratcliffe, who was held in Iran, and that was basically because the UK government owed Iran lots of money and was refusing to pay it. So these things do happen, these deadlock situations. Yeah, in episode one, as you say, we kind of see a little bit of background in Beijing. Then he's arrested in the UK and he's on the flight back. And then things start to happen on the flight that make you think there may be more to this than meets the eye. You've got Leslie Sharp in this. She plays the Director General of MI5. Not sure she's totally convincing in that role. So I didn't think it was as good, for instance, as that brilliant film about a surgeon accused of murder, The Fugitive, starring Harrison Ford. But I love anything, any thriller set aboard an aeroplane is usually guaranteed excitement and thrills, plenty going on. So, yeah, I enjoyed episode one and, yeah, I will watch the rest. We move across to Prime Video for a new horror series arriving on Thursday, the 25th of April. It's called Them, The Scare. And here's a clip.
25 fractures in all. Only bodies I've ever seen this broken were run over by trains.
He's killed before. You don't start out this proficient at it.
I think he knew his victims. Feels personal.
This guy's left no eyewitnesses. Who could not be noticed?
The last thing we need right now is a serial killer.
Well, that's what we got, sir.
So this is the return of a Los Angeles-set horror anthology series. But yes, being an anthology series, this new batch of episodes are set at a different time, different characters, different storyline. But however, it does have an actor from the first season. You've got Deborah Iorinde plays Los Angeles detective Dawn Reeve. Now, in case you didn't see season one, that was set in 1953. It was called Covenant, and it was about a black family moving from North Carolina to Los Angeles to an all-white neighborhood. And there are quite a few films and TV series that have used the horror genre to say things about race, haven't they? Very successfully. And that's certainly what season one did. People called it Prime Video's answer to American Horror Story. It's created by Little Marvin, and it was well received, season one. So I've watched episode one of season two, and it certainly draws you in. So Detective Reeve, comes to a foster home to investigate a murder. I don't want to say too much about it. I think it's more interesting if you see the story unfold yourself. But there's some very weird stuff has been going on in this house. And certainly when they find the body, well, yeah, it's just bizarre and really freaky and creepy and odd. That's all I'm going to say. Now, at her work, it's very kind of male-dominated. You've got Wayne Knight, who was in Seinfeld. He plays her boss. You've also got Luke Evans as Edmund Gaines, who's playing this actor. He's kind of working, dressing up as a sort of kiddies character, and he's going to auditions, but he's clearly not very good. So it's unclear what his involvement is going to be, because we're also following his story at the same time, but you suspect it's not good news. Pam Grier, of course, who had a career revival courtesy of Quentin Tarantino's Jackie Brown. Well, she's in this as Dawn's mother, Athena. So, yeah, it's an intriguing opening. I don't know, elements of it kind of reminded me a little bit of the film Seven, perhaps. It's got all sorts of stuff going on. Is it a serial killer? Is there something supernatural going on? Who knows? But yeah, it's certainly a fascinating opening. It's very creepy, the music, and especially the editing. Really well done to make it even more scary. So yeah, I think pretty sure horror fans are going to enjoy this. I thought it was good. What did you think, Hannah?
It's kind of... I didn't draw comparisons between Seven, but you're right, actually. It does have... does have that kind of vibe. It's, I mean, it's an interesting premise, as you say, and it's kind of, it's a little bit different. And I think that's what we're looking for, because obviously we're binging, you know, each week different things, and you see a lot of the same things. And there's in these genres, it's really hard to kind of break out from something. And I think they kind of do here. So from what I've seen so far, I'm on board with it. But do you know what? I'm a bit over the horror now. It's Halloween's gone. We don't need any more scares, thanks.
Fair enough. We're going to finish on Apple TV Plus with a returning comedy drama series, which arrived back on Wednesday, the 24th of April. It's called The Big Door Prize, and here is a clip.
The people in this town completely upended their lives because of a card they got from a machine.
That thing will tell you your life's potential.
The Morphos made everybody think about their dreams, and now it's saying,
are you ready for the next stage?
How do we get to the next stage?
See, I don't remember seeing the first season of this, and I sort of blithely kind of went into this and watched the first episode of this, of this season two, and there are 10 episodes in this season, and I don't think you need to see it. I might be wrong. I don't know if you would agree with that, Ian, but I don't know. I think you can pick it up. Well, I certainly did. I think I picked it up quite quickly. But essentially, it's based around this Morpho machine, and it's a machine that it's kind of, it just arrives in this shop, and no one really knows how it got there. But it's supposed to reveal people's true potential, and so I guess you put some money in, and a piece of, you know, an envelope comes out, and it tells you, and it's changing people's lives. It reminded me a little bit, and I'm useless with names. You might be able to fill in, Ian. The program where they looked at who you should be marrying, who you should be meeting, and kind of worked out scientifically who you should be with. And people are taking, and they were taking that as very serious, and, you know, ending marriages and what have you. And the same way with this, although, of course, this is, you know, this is a comedy drama, so marginally different there. It's people that are seeing what it says their potential could be, and then actually changing the course of their life because of it. And so, Chris O'Dowd, who I absolutely think is brilliant and great, plays the part of a teacher called Dusty. And he's kind of like real middle of the road kind of guy, you know, just does what he does, raises his eyes a bit about this, a bit of eyeball rolling and thinking, oh, for goodness sake, why, you know, what, why are people changing their lives because of this? But even he starts to question it, you know, and thinks, could it, because actually what it's doing, it's saying to you, well, you can do other things, not just what you're doing now. You can do other things, and this could be, try this. How about this? It doesn't mean you have to stop your marriage just because, I don't know, true love. It says something about true love, for example. So it kind of, but it's changing people's lives. I think it is quite funny in places. The narrative and the dialogue between his pupils and him is quite funny in places. But as I say, it kind of, they want to know about the device. That's the whole point. Who's behind it, you know, who's created it, who's writing these messages, who, you know, and of course it's, you know, it's all a bit silly. But I actually really enjoyed it. Something a bit different. As I say, I don't think you need to see season one. I certainly didn't. I don't remember it anyway. And I thought it was fine without watching it. What do you think, Ian?
I enjoyed it. And we didn't cover season one, I don't know why, and I tried watching the first episode and I quickly realized I had no idea what's going on, so I did go back to the first series. It's such a great idea, this Morpho machine that tells you, you know, what you should or could be doing. And that slightly reminded me, remember the film, the Tom Hanks film Big, where there's this kind of arcade machine that grants him, the little boy, a wish, and the wish is to be big, to be grown up. So it's got that kind of slight Tales of the Unexpected kind of vibe to it, possibly a little bit of Black Mirror, but it's also, it's kind of about small town life, I guess, isn't it? And how all these different characters of all ages, how they react to the idea that there's this machine that will print something out and tell you, you know, this, in a way, this could have been your destiny and still could be. You know, you'd be intrigued. You'd want to know. But it's not always the answer you want. So one person gets, in series one, one person gets a card that says their destiny is liar. You know? And, yeah, Chris O'Dowd's character, who I absolutely love him in this, yeah, gets a disappointing reply as well. But what's good about it is, so initially, I think it's his 40th birthday at the beginning of the first series, and he's just talking about, you know, he's contented, he's got everything he wants, you know, he's happy. But once this sort of, this little grit in the oyster, you know, this suggestion that, well, perhaps I could have done something else, or, you know, he's only been in one relationship as well, so kind of this, just these seeds of doubt creep into his mind. So it's really well done. I love it. And the beginning of series two is, the machine is now saying, are you ready for the next stage? And people are like, what does that mean? And how do we get it to take us to the next stage? So that's the sort of jumping off point. And a machine's been found, I think, somewhere else. So yeah, I really liked it. And I will go back and watch the rest of season one. We've got to that time, Hannah. Yes. Where you reveal what you've been binging on, because you can't tell us, like you have been doing for weeks, Saturday Night Takeaway.
I can't, but guess what? I've still got my naughty duo satisfying, because they're back with Britain's Got Talent, Ant and Dec. Don't you worry, they're never far from my screen. Yeah, I watched it. I am that person that cries at the screen. I am that person. So yeah, I have watched both episodes, Saturday and Sundays, I'm afraid. And also, I've just finished Scoop, which we talked about last week. Absolutely brilliant. Still so much written about it, isn't there? Colm Inchers at the moment. But absolutely brilliant.
Well, I finished Ripley on Netflix, which, yes, we reviewed it, and it really is excellent. So if you haven't watched it, check it out. Superb. And I'm inching towards, it seems to be going on forever, inching towards the end of the latest series of MAFSAU, or Married at First Sight Australia. Now, we've just got time to look ahead to next week's offering. So what are we going to be looking at, Hannah?
Well, a dogged lawyer investigates murder at a monastery in the gripping Tudor mystery Shard Lake on Disney Plus.
Meanwhile, one of my favourites, Jeff Daniels plays a millionaire property mogul whose business empire is on the brink of collapse in the new Netflix series, A Man in Full. So, we look forward to those and much, much more. But, in the meantime, listeners,
watching!